Up next, I promised you a third story, and this is a whale of a story. It's a whale of a birth. Paleontologists in Pakistan have found the fossilized remains of an early whale species, an ancestor to the whales we have around today. And it turns out that one of the proto-whales was expecting. She was pregnant with child. Inside the female skeleton was a full-term fetus. And even more surprising, the mother whale was set to give birth to a baby that would be born head first. Now you say, okay, that happens. But in this situation, that means that this early whale was giving birth on land, not in the ocean, not at sea. The whale was giving birth on land. And whales, it seems, have done the evolutionary opposite of fish. They have moved from land to water over evolutionary time. A male species was also found, and that gives scientists some valuable information about how males may have competed for females. Joining me now to talk more about this is Philip Gingrich, and he's professor of geological sciences and director of the Museum of Paleontology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Gingrich.
My pleasure.
So you found these fossils, and the mother was going to give birth on land.
Well, the mother was going to give birth head first, and that's the pattern of all land mammals. Whales give birth tail first. Mm-hmm. So on the face of it, it looks like she should give birth on land. Now, that's not so implausible because the whale in question is still semi-aquatic. It's still amphibious. They still came out on land for some reason. Mm-hmm. We haven't known what the reason is, but this is certainly, I would say, what we expected, though we didn't have evidence for it before.
So the whale in its evolution originated as a land mammal, and then it evolved to leave the land to live in the ocean, and now we're looking at a sort of spot in its evolution where it still came back to land to give birth.
We're looking at the transition back to the ocean.
Back to the ocean. Is this the first time anybody has found a fossil like this?
Well, it's the first time anyone's found a fossil with a fossil whale with a calf inside.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of whales spanning the transition so that it's becoming more and more understandable how and when and where whales did this. But the whole life history side of it, having to do with birth and development, we knew nothing about.
You know, when you look at the pictures of the site where the archaeologists dug this fossil up, it's a dry, barren spot. How did you know where to look?
Well, of course, we didn't at first, and it's an interesting story. I started working in that region in the 1970s and ran away because everything was marine, and I was looking for land mammals. Mm-hmm. And then slowly, through a long history of discovery that had a decade in Egypt, I realized that's the place to look for walking whales or semi-aquatic whales, transitional whales that are more primitive than the ones we found in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like, difficulty working in Pakistan?
Well, Pakistan is Pakistan, and you do things a little differently there. It's a great place to work in good times. It's not a great place to work now.
Yeah. Can you, let's talk about the fetus, the unborn whale that was found inside this whale that was ready to give birth. Can you learn anything more about these whales by looking at the skeleton?
Well, the interesting thing about the skull of the fetus, the rest of the skeleton is not well mineralized, and so the rest of it is not so well preserved. We can identify the middle sections of the long bones, but the ends aren't preserved. They were cartilaginous, no doubt, and aren't mineralized. From the skull, though, we can see that it's full of baby teeth. And once we went through and carefully identified what all the baby teeth are, and some of them are landmarks that help us know where we are in the dentition, we realized that the first molars are already forming. Now, this is a near-term fetus. It's about to be born. It isn't born yet. It's still in the mother. And it's already got first molars about halfway formed. So that tells us that the animal was what we call precocial in development. It was going to be born ready to move, ready to eat solid food. And that's a characteristic of mammals that live in a semi-aquatic setting. It's characteristic of whales today. probably you have to be precocial to make the transition.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Philip Gingrich, professor of geological sciences at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor on Science Friday from NPR News. It almost sounds like, so you're describing a transitory kind of birth where it's ready to jump almost back into the water as soon as it's born?
Well, I think it will be born near the water, and yeah. I'm sure it would be in the water within days, if not hours.
Mm-hmm. How far along would it take, evolutionary-wise speaking, to become a full whale as we know it today?
Well, we get what we recognize as modern whales, baleen whales, toothed whales, about 10 million years after this one.
Mm.
So, interestingly, I would have thought the transition would be over in a minute, and as paleontologists, we would never find fossils to be able to study it.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly the opposite is true. The whole transition took about 15, 20 million years, and we're getting, I hope, every step of it.
Now, the fact that you found a male whale also, does that add to your knowledge?
Well, yes. Taking a step backward, when we find a whale with a calf inside, with a fetus inside, we suddenly know she's female. And this is the first time in the Eocene that we can sex. It might be the first time in the fossil history of whales that we can sex a whale definitely, definitively. So knowing that the mother is female, we had another skeleton of the same species that's about 12% larger with canine teeth. If you know what those are, they're in the corners of your mouth in front,
mm-hmm.
about 20% larger in the second specimen. So it's easy to imagine that that's a male. It's easy to interpret the larger one with a little larger canine teeth as a male. And the canine teeth are different enough that I think I can reliably sex quite a few of the individuals that we've had before for which we didn't know the sex.
Mm-hmm. And how do you know that this just was not a breech birth of a whale?
Well, we have a sample of one. Now, a sample of how important a sample is a proportion of what you had before. So we would like to have two, we would like to have three, but the biggest hurdle was to get number one.
Mm-hmm. And so,
we have to assume that what we see is representative. The baby is too big, the fetus is too big to turn head for tail anymore inside the mother.
Mm-hmm. And so, excuse the pun, is this a fertile ground now for you to look for more?
What do you think? Of course.
I'm asking a stupid question, that's what I
think. Well, you know, once you realize you can find one, then you know you can find number two and number three and number four.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm. And have you dug more up that you're not talking about, or are you going back to look?
Well, I work in Egypt these days, and we've found a lot more that we're not talking about.
Will you be publishing that work soon? Or do you have to okay with the Egyptian government first?
Well, we work with them, and it's a lot of work. I mean, the mother was found in 2000, and the male was found in 2004, and here we are in 2009.
Wow.
It's a long process to find them and clean them and study them and write about them.
So we'll just have to keep
But yes, there are things in the pipeline.
All right. I won't pump you anymore.
Okay.
I'll keep your reputation
clean
here. Thank you very much, Dr. Gingrich.
My pleasure.
Philip Gingrich is professor of geological sciences and director of the Museum of Paleontology at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Matthew Chapman. Matthew is the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, as we are talking all about evolutionary things today. He's also a director, a writer, a producer. We'll get into all the things he's interested in and the legacy of Charles Darwin. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.